Welcome to the Jay Porks Podcast. Coming to you straight out of Staten Island, New York. Bringing you a weekly episode with the finest music news, server problems, and whatever else is going on in Jay's life. Thank you so much for listening. Without further ado, here's Jay.
I don't get the joke. Temporary layoff, good times, easy credit ripple, good times, scratching and surviving, good times. None of these are good things. It's like sodomy is coming, good time. No, it's not. It's not at all. I'm not one of these guys who's blaming the world for where I'm at. I'm at where I'm at because I made bad decisions. But on top of those bad decisions, God's looping up my ass. There's not a thing I know how to do. All I know how to do is take videos at concerts. It's really all I know how to do. And write some words and do a podcast. I don't know how to do anything else. This idea that Pearl Jam are the heroes of the Seattle movement is absolute lunacy. It's insanity. And the no smoking policies kill me. No one wants to smoke in the venue, don't worry. But if the show is going to be 3 hours long, you better stamp my fucking hand and give me and show me where the door is to go out and smoke a cigarette. I paid $60 for a seat so I can retrieve the seats when I come back in from smoking a cigarette.
I always talk about weed. Force headline on you. I am not going to hit you. Here's what I don't want to do. I don't want to force things. I will never force headline on you. I am not going to hit you with a weird festival in, you know, Florida with one band I've heard of and a bunch of EDM artists on it. I'm not going to read that to you. It doesn't do you any good. It doesn't do me any.
So the lady goes, stop complaining. At least you're not dead.
Staten Island is a racist place. Just because you may not be a racist doesn't mean you can write an article saying, why are we known as racist? That's so wrong. It shouldn't be like that.
Well, everybody's a racist. Spend your day clipping coupons. Go to the supermarket. Buy food. And prepare it at home. I know that's a wild and crazy idea. You can't... Don't you dare! Spin Magazine, you do some dumb things. But I gotta tell you, you spent 7 weeks hyping the Ryan Adams covering Taylor Swift album, and then you panned it? Are you good?
Yo, what is the word, people? Welcome to another action-packed edition of the Jay Porks Podcast. I'm Jay Porks, with me as always on the other side of the glass, making sure this is a well-oiled podcast machine. Every week is the ever-popular nobody. Music stuff coming later. But I just want to... Why? Can I just know why? That's a question I have for every single person who I've ever met in my life. Why? Every year. Every single year they do this to me. Every time September comes around... I tell you guys, I'm not getting into football. That's what I say. Because I'm not. Because I'm sick of it. Because I'm sick of having my heart broken every single time. Every year. Every year it's something. With the fucking Jets. I swear, every single year. How many times are they going to do this to me? Now... Last year was a tougher season. Not a tougher season. Last year we were coming to the end of the Rex Ryan era. We didn't have a quarterback. You know, had some receivers. Decker. The defense was depleted. We didn't have Cromartie. Didn't have Revis. This year, we come into the season... Middle of the road expectations. Not going to say they were high. I'm going to tell you that, you know, I thought we'd be a good team, win some games, play hard. and maybe finish near 500. That's what I thought the season would be. 8-8, 9-7. That's what I thought it was going to be. Then you get preseason, you get this guy breaks Geno Smith's jaw. I.K. Adekunbo, whatever the fuck this guy's name is. No, I.K. Impali, that's the guy's name. He breaks Geno Smith's nose, Geno Smith's jaw, our starting quarterback. Then Ryan Fitzpatrick is left to captain the ship. And what does he do? He does well. Because we got Brandon Marshall. We got Eric Decker. We got Chris Ivory. We've got the $100 million secondary. We got Revis. We got Cromartie. Buster Screen. You've got the Sons of Anarchy down front. You've got Harrison. You've got Wilkerson. You've got Richardson. You got David Harris, consummate player. Leads his team in tackles almost every year. DeMario Davis was out for the last game, but we have him. As the year progresses, as the year goes on, I keep saying, you know what? Jets looking pretty good. Jets looking pretty good. And then, and people tell me, because, you know, I'm out with the Commodores all day. I talk to normal people when I'm serving food. There are regular people that I talk to. Oh, how about them Jets? Jets look good. And I'm like, listen, let's not start sucking each other's dicks yet, fellas. You know, I mean, that's been my reply. My reply, listen, when they get to the mountain, I'll celebrate them being at the mountain. Right now, they're just an okay team. That all changed 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, the Jets beat the Patriots. They had there was no rhyme or reason to how or why the Jets would beat the best team in football, the New England Patriots. But they did. They beat the Patriots, and they were 10-5. And the only thing that was needed from the New York Football Jets was a win. That's all that was needed on Sunday. 1 o'clock, Buffalo, Rex Ryan coaching the Bills. Rex Ryan's got a chance to ruin your season. You know, it's funny, because when Rex Ryan was the coach of the Jets for 5 years, that's all he did was ruin the Jets' seasons. It's weird that he can do that being the coach of another team as well. From the first play of this game, I knew that this wasn't going to go well. 2 weeks before the Jets beat the Patriots, we didn't have the tiebreaker. So the Steelers and the Chiefs were ahead of us in the wildcard standings. But once we beat the Patriots, and it was a win and we're in scenario against the Bills that are 7-8 or whatever they were, and they already beat us this year, I thought that we had a decent shot at winning the game, considering that we had everything to lose and the Bills season was already over. The Bills had nothing to play for. All the Jets needed to do was win a game and they continue playing. Last week somebody said the Jets are going to make the playoffs. I said the playoffs have already started, because all we got to do is win and we continue. Well, just as quickly as the playoffs start, the playoffs end. I'm not blaming the quarterback. I'm not blaming Ryan Fitzpatrick for the Jets losing yesterday. I'm not doing that. He did throw some interceptions. It comes down to this. During the football season, one play, one game, one inch can make or break your postseason hopes. All it takes is one play. And when it was second down and 10, it was second and long, and the Jets have the ball inside 11 minutes in the red zone in Bills territory, I just don't understand throwing a pass in that situation. I just can't wrap my head around throwing a pass when we have to kill 10 minutes off the clock. When we got the ball in the fourth quarter, when the Jets got the ball in the fourth quarter, that should have been it. The Jets should have held the ball for the rest of the game, taken it into the end zone slowly, scored, and left zero time on the clock. I know it's crazy to think of a team having a 9-minute drive, but the Bills had just did it to us, and the Bills suck, and we allegedly don't. And another thing I'm going to get, I mean, when I was a kid, I watched Michael Jordan beat the Knicks year in, year out. I watched Michael Jordan take the ball, take 5 steps, slam dunk on John Starks, and never get called for traveling. But I turn on the Jet game, and they're calling Darrell Revis for illegal hands to the face? Do you guys know that that's Darrell Revis? That's Darrell Revis. You don't call him for penalties. I mean, he just grazed the guy's face anyway. It wasn't like he was egregiously breaking the rules. He grazed his face on a bump and run. And then we're throwing the ball with 11 minutes to go. And I'll take it back to a minute left in the half. A minute left going into halftime. We got a timeout. Why aren't we flinging it down the field? I'm so sick of... I hate the complacency. I hate the... We're gonna just take it into halftime and come out in the second half and play well. Well, here's the thing. In the second half, you're kicking off to the Bills. It was a good year. It was a good year. But to sit here and tell me that to sit here and have the Jets 1 win away from postseason play, they don't get it done, but people still tell me that, well, you know, they had a good year. I can't live with mediocrity like that. I can't hope. I can't hope and dream that my team will be okay. I can't hope and dream that we're going to break even. That's not something I strive for. I don't want championships. I'm not saying the Jets need to turn into the Yankees. It's not at all what I'm saying. I'm just saying, could have got to the postseason. We were 1 game away from that season being a good season. 1 game away. 1 win away. And with under a minute to go, or was about a minute, the ball gets thrown downfield to Tompkins. And he wasn't supposed to. I mean, it would have been an incredible catch had he made it. But the dude tipped the ball to himself, tipped it to himself, and almost made the catch. And if he would have made the catch, he was gone. And that game was over. But Rex Ryan came into town. Well, not came into town. We went into Buffalo. And Rex Ryan decided that even though the Jets fired him, even though the Jets have relieved him from coaching duties, he's still going to leave his mark on the Jets season one way or another. Can't believe we lost to the goddamn Bills. The Bills. People are saying, oh, Jets, big changes, need a quarterback. No, we don't. What the Jets need to do right now is sign Ryan Fitzpatrick to a 1 year or a 2 year deal. And during that time, we draft a quarterback who will not be rushed in to games. How about we draft a quarterback who can learn, who can sit on the bench for 3 years? Because I don't know, it worked good for that Aaron Rodgers guy. I don't know, that guy sat on the bench for 3 years and it worked out for him. It's the story. It's the same old Jets. Same old Jets. Had the most yards in the history of Jets franchise history. The most since 1985. That's my lifetime. Ryan Fitzpatrick threw over 30 touchdown passes. He's the only Jets quarterback to do that in history. This is a team that had Joe Namath. Brandon Marshall went over 100 yards more times than any Jet receiver in history. That includes Hall of Famer Don Maynard. And with all this, with all these records being set, it's not like the defense was giving up 40 points a game. Defense was solid. Which is how I don't understand how the Bills were even in that game, let alone beating us. How were they even in the game? After they beat us early in the season, Jets finished 10-6. If the Jets beat the lowly Bills twice, the Jets are 12-4, and they're possibly the one seed in the AFC because they would have went 1-1 with the Patriots. And I don't know how the tiebreakers work, but if the Jets were 12-4, they would have not only definitely been in the playoffs, but they might have been the one seed or the two with a bye. Same old Jets. You can't take care of your own business. You can't expect other teams to take care of business for you. The Steelers lost to the lowly Ravens the week before. You couldn't expect them to lose again. Ben Roethlisberger doesn't take no for an answer, and ask girls in bathrooms of bars to confirm that for you. So here I am, another January where football's going into the postseason, and my team is an afterthought. And my team is not involved because my team isn't good. Because it's not like a quarterback, a coach. These things aren't going to save the Jets. Nothing is going to save the Jets. They need to blow up the franchise. They need to no longer be an NFL team. They need to take that team and just get rid of it. It just needs to no longer be a team anymore. Because there's no point. All you're doing is hurting people by having a franchise. All you're doing is making people suffer. And I, for one, I'm sick of suffering. So next year, when football season comes around, if you hear me on the podcast getting excited, send me an email. jporkspodcast@gmail.com. Remind me. I mean, I'm sure I'll remember. But if I don't, feel free to remind me. Because I can't. This is not a life I want to live. I could have worked on Sundays, made money, not got emotionally invested in football, and it wouldn't have even hurt because I would have expected, that's what happened is what I would have expected to happen. But no. But no, I don't work Sundays. Now I'm stuck. Stuck watching the Jets. I wake up on a Sunday morning thinking they're going to beat a 7-8 team. I guess that was stupid of me to think. Why would I assume things like that? This team's been hurting me since I was 5. Since I could remember even watching sports. This team's been doing it to me. Whether it's losing to the Colts 9-6 in overtime at a game that kicks off at 4 o'clock at the Meadowlands. Car breaking down on the George Washington Bridge, going into school the next day without my homework, explaining to the teacher how can the Jets score only 6 points in an overtime game. AFC Championship in 1998. Testaverde, Keyshawn, Corbett. Nope. What about 2009? Or was it 2010? Beat the Patriots and the Colts in the playoffs. Just to lose in the AFC Championship game to the Steelers. Those two AFC Championships games I just made reference to are the only two AFC Championship games the Jets have ever been to. The only two the Jets have ever been to. They're usually a 6-win team. And I don't see any reason for hope that the Jets would win more than 6 games next year. I mean, if it's just going to keep going the way it is. First of all, the $100 million defense, you know, with Revis, Cromartie, all these guys, you can't afford to keep all these guys. So you know somebody's going to sign somewhere. Will Marshall and Decker have the chemistry that they had this year? Next year? Will Fitzpatrick have the chemistry with them next year? Will Fitzpatrick realize he's Ryan Fitzpatrick next year? Did he realize it in that Week 17 game? A little bit? A little bit? Don't let me do it next year. I'm done. I'm done with football. I'm sick of having my heart broken. It's just not fair. It's not right. It's too predictable. It happens too much. It happens all the time. I'm through. I'm not being a slave to this team anymore. I'm not going to have crappy Decembers for the rest of my life. I can't do it. I have to tap out. I'm tapping out. I can't do it anymore. I just can't. I'm sorry. Get to Coachella when we come back after this.
Hey everybody, it's Andy from the Andy Dare Show, just thanking you for checking out the Jay Porks podcast. If you want to support Jay and his show, it's easy and it's free. All you got to do is go to Facebook, search Jay Porks, and push the like button. Also on Twitter, at Jay Porks. Also Instagram, at Jay Porks. There's a running theme here. It's Jay Porks all the time. And the HQ is jayporks.com. If you want to support the Dare Podcast Network, all you got to do is go to andydare.com and subscribe via iTunes. You'll get the Andy Dare Show, the Jay Porks Experience, the Tyler Cale Show, and Spin Class for absolutely $0. We want to thank everybody who's helped spread the word here at Dare Network over 2 years that we've been doing it. And back to the Jay Porks podcast.
And we are back. All right. Coachella. Coachella is out. The lineup has been released. And as soon as I could find the full screen button, I will be able to read it to you. Coachella never thought to change the way they have the poster. Anyway. Okay. Coachella 2016 in Indio, California. Golden Voice presents. The Friday, April 15th and 22nd headliners will be LCD Sound System reuniting, along with Ella Goulding, Sufjan Stevens, M83, The Kills, Of Monsters of Men, G-Eazy, Purity Ring, Ray Shermid, the guy who has one, is that the guy with one eye, or is that the guy that got shot in the face? Volbeat, Too Many DJs, Saint Germain, Savages, The Last Shadow Puppets, Joey Badass, Tell the Bass Job Don't Quit His Day Job, DJ Mustard, Robert DeLong, Bob Moses, Years and Years. Anyway, other things I haven't heard of. The Sunday, April 17th and 24th headliner is Calvin Harris with Sia, Major Lazer, and Beach House. The 1975 and Rancid also make out the rest of that top line there. And we got Edward Sharp of the Magnetic Zeros, Matt and Kim, Chris Stapleton, Cold War Kids, Death Grips, and the Chainsmokers, making out the second line there of the Sunday. Saturday's interesting because you have Guns N' Roses. Yep. Yes, you do. Yeah, what did I tell you? I told you. I ran with it, and we did it. We made it here. Guns N' Roses will be headlining Coachella Saturday, April 16th and 23rd. Smart move by the Golden Voice folks, putting Guns N' Roses on the Saturday so people can't show up for the one day. So they can try to have to show up for both, at least 2 days at a time. Guns N' Roses, right before Guns N' Roses goes on, Ice Cube, Disclosure, Zedd, and ASAP Rocky are going to go on. Churches, Hailsley, James Bay, Grimes, Courtney Barnett, Run the Jewels, Gary Clark Jr., Silver Sun Pickups, Deer Hunter, The Damned, See, that's why I don't like the way they have these posters set up. They hid the Damned on the fourth line. I could barely see them. That's cool. I was listening to the Damned do Ballroom Blitz the other day. It's a pretty cool version. So you've got that. You've got no holograms, but you've got two reuniting bands, Guns N' Roses and LCD Sound System. You also have Calvin Harris headlining Coachella, and I think my head just exploded. Who the fuck is Calvin Harris? All right, not who the fuck is Calvin Harris. I know that Calvin Harris is an artist who makes records, but headlining Coachella? And Sia is going to be the second, like, the precursor to the headliner? Is she going to do I Am Lord, Ya Ya Ya? Feeling good on a Wednesday? Because if she doesn't do that song, I don't really care about her. And, like, I'm the guy who you want to care about you. Because I like, got the podcast. And I've got, you know, the new microphone. And I'm flexing the golden pipes here every week. Every week, Jay Pork's podcast. LCD Sound System is the biggest fucking load of bullshit I've ever heard of in the history of the world. I remember when they were together, this was like 3 years ago. They didn't even break up that long ago. It was literally 3 years ago. They had sold out the Garden, and they were mad that scalpers sold the tickets, so they played Terminal 5 and some other venues for free or something. They canceled the Garden show. Not canceled the Garden shows. Did something like that. Anyway, James, who's the fucking lead singer of this band? James something. He wanted to fucking have a soundtrack to the subway. To the New York City subway. James Murphy. That's the fucking guy's name. He wanted to... You walk into the subway and they're playing songs. They already got the street musicians doing that. LCD Sound System was active from 2001 to 2011, and they just got back together. I mean, this is more of that dance punk electronica. This is more along the lines of when I see bands like this getting big, I decide what weapon I'm going to use to kill myself. You know what I'm saying? I mean, this is like if Daft Punk had five members. Whatever. I remember when they did that fucking... I thought it was pretty cool that they had the bands, that they had the fans, that they got mad at scalpers for fucking up their ticket sale thing, and they played other shows for their fans. Thought that was awesome. Everything else is shit. I tried to listen to their music. Their music is terrible. To me, I don't like that dancey softcore crap. That's just me. I like, you know, if you're going to make music, make it with instruments and play the instruments. And if it's going to sound like, if it's going to be instruments, make it sound like instruments. You know. That's all I'm saying. Furthermore, I don't think that, I mean, I get that Coachella is the place where you reunite. But who the fuck cares? I'll quote one of my Concert Confessions brethren by saying, fucking trash. Because that's what this is. It is fucking trash. Alright, moving on from music I hate into concert behaviors I hate, courtesy of the bands. There's a new app called Yonder. Technology's advancements have led to some pretty slick smartphones, which many use to capture photos and videos of cherished memories or cats. In recent years, however, there's been a growing backlash towards those who bring their phones into intimate venues, such as a concert hall or comedy club. Some artists like Yeah Yeah Yeahs, Neutral Milk Hotel, and Savages even have banned phones altogether. Graham Dugani is capitalizing on this anti-cell phone sentiment with his new company, Yonder. You may have heard of the name recently, as the company's technology provided a no-phone zone for Dave Chappelle's recent residency in Chicago. In this Q&A... Graham discusses how the company disables cell phone usage during performances, which why this trend is becoming more popular, and what we have, what he has planned in 2016. You're kidding me, right? You're kidding me. I have an idea about how bands can not have people use their cell phones at concerts. Be interesting. Be interesting. Everywhere you go. All right. So Yonder doesn't care about like music journalism. I'm gonna look up Yonder right now, just so I can have so I can know who these scumbags are. Yonder gives artists and venues the tools to create phone-free zones and spaces. Listen. If you bring your phone into a local late show, Scott Lucas will just break it. If you gotta go this far out of your way, why do you even care at that point? I mean, if I was serving a table, like let's just say I'm working and I'm serving food, and let's just say I'm serving a table and they're all looking down at their phones and I can't take the order. If my restaurant came up with a way to disarm your phone before you walked in, don't act like you wouldn't look at me like I'm some sort of asshole. Because that's what I would be. I know I've watched a lot of seasons of The X-Files over the past couple of days. Binge watch style. But you can't fight the future. You know, it's here. This is the future. It's not, oh, how are we going to combat the cell phone problem? It's, how do we make it so everyone can be like, why don't you walk into the venue and why isn't why aren't you able to stream the concert on your phone right there? How about people in the front videotape the concert so people in the back can stream it for when the basketball team is standing in front of them, because every time people go to a concert, somehow the basketball team decides to show up. What about that? No one's ever thinking of ideas how we can use technology to make things better. People only want to use technology to shut down technology. And I don't get it. And I can promise you that when I'm at Ween in April, Yonder, no Yonder, I'll be in there with camera, taking video. You want to take control of my cell phone? First of all, if it has the ability to lock my cell phone, then it has the ability to take my personal information. It's not possible that you can do one thing without the other. If you can control my cell phone into putting it in a locked position where I can't get on the internet, where I can't get on Twitter, where I can't text people, where I can't look down at the phone, then that means you're taking my personal information. And we all know how Americans feel about their personal information. They want to keep it, what's the word? Personal. Personal. Cell phones, this is like, I mean, did people get mad when the first people started bringing binoculars to sporting events? All of down in front with those binoculars, you're ruining the experience of the game. When in actuality, it just makes things better. Like, the first person who was able to bring their handheld AM radio into a football game, like, when I was a kid and my dad used to wear the headphones so he can hear the announcers calling the game as he's watching the game, which is a really smart idea that I never really thought of. Like, did people start elbowing the guy next to them like, hey, listen, you can't be on technology. We're at an event, all right? You can't be enjoying the fruits of the future. That's not what the future was here for. It's not here so you can enjoy it. It's only here to captivate you. It's only here to steal your personal information, turn you into Al-Qaeda, and ISIS. That's all it's here for, right? I mean, that's what I would believe. Nobody's ever talking about the good that cell phones do. I can get any bit of information anytime I want. I just don't get it. We're going to fight the future. Everybody's Fox Mulder. Everybody wants to be Fox Mulder until they get fucking till they get infected with some alien disease. Then they don't want to be Fox Mulder anymore. Everybody wants to be Mulder. Not enough people trying to be Scully. You know what I'm saying? Yonder. Come over yonder so I could punch you in the face. Of course, you know, every week the music headlines are powered by Antiquiet. I was supposed to say that in the beginning, but I didn't. Up on Antiquiet right now, there's a demo from Black Rebel Motorcycle Club, Ordinary Boy. On Christmas, Black Rebel Motorcycle Club slipped this new demo online via their official Facebook page, wishing everyone happy holidays. It's a good way to kick off 2016, a raw, soulful nod back to 2005's Howl, one of our favorite albums from the past decade and a half. That's up at Antiquiet right now. Also, PJ Harvey? Another, you know what I love? I love reading about artists who I've seen live. You know, I know I've been to 100 shows. One of them was PJ Harvey, and that was at Terminal 5, and that was awesome. I'll share some of the video with you up on the notes. I'm trying to think, did I have my good camera? I'm not sure. Either way, that was cool. Not too many artists can get our attention with mere 30-second teases, but we make an exception for PJ Harvey. February 4th through February 14th, she's recording her new album in public as part of an elaborate performance art installation at London's Somerset House, aptly titled Recording in Progress. She's recording the album with Flood and John Parrish, and apparently you can go there and watch through glass if you leave your cell phone at the door. More cell phone police! Everywhere we go, there's the cell phone police, and it's driving me nuts. But more important here is that there's a new PJ Harvey album coming this spring. The brief clip above is a tantalizing first tease, a simple riff, with a tone of A Stranger Place Than Hell, clearly sliced by that unmistakable voice. Pitchfork reports that Pitchfork is calling PJ Harvey Peej, like P-E-E-J. Recently hit the Royal Festival Hall in London to debut 10 new songs: Chain of Keys, The Wheel, The Orange Monkey, Dalla Dalla, The Community of Hope, Homo Sappy Blues, Medicinals, Near the Memorials to Vietnam and Lincoln, River Anacostia, and the Ministry of Social Affairs. That sounds like if you went to like a social worker and it was like the future but in a Game of Thrones theme. It'd be like, I need to go see the social worker. The Ministry of Social Affairs. It's right down this way. The ministry. Is it like Undertaker's Ministry of Darkness, where he's going to turn people into... Will he turn Henry Godwin into Midian? And Mabel into Viscera? Alright, I'm done. So, all of the articles, right? As I'm recording this, the Guns N' Roses thing just happened. So everybody is GNR this, GNR that, and everybody is waiting for Axl Rose to go on. Axl Rose will be on Kimmel later this week. This week he'll be on Kimmel and he will tell us what the deal is. Fighting the future everywhere we go. It just drives me nuts. Just drives me insane. With this, I'm gonna get up at it. You ever notice I talk way faster than my thoughts are going, but the words aren't moving that fast. Okay. Before I get up on out of here, I'm going to give you the list of websites you need to go to help keep me in business. First of all, there is ConcertConfessions.com. That's where you will get all your live music news and reviews. For the fans, by the fans, few and far between, but they're big on content nonetheless. And I will be at Ween in April. So there's always that to look forward to. you know I'll have my full report at ConcertConfessions.com, where you'll get that and the rest of your live music news and reviews for the fans by the fans. And when you're there, click the Amazon ads, because you're going to buy stuff anyway. Might as well buy it there. You can buy me an electric blanket or an air mattress. These are things I need. I used to need a microphone. Those days are over. The times, they are a-changing. Anyway. Also, go to andydarer.com. That's where you get all your Darer Network podcast needs. Whether that's the Tyler Kale Show, whether that's Jesse Unplugged, whether that's Spin Class with Tyler and Andy, whether that's the flagship show, the Andy Darer Show. You can get that all at andydarer.com, Darer Network headquarters, and the sultry smooth tones of the Jay Parks Experience. You could also get, wow, there is a top 20 list of albums that came out this year. Oh, I'm so glad. You know what? I'm glad I didn't see this at the beginning, because I would have been really mad. Got some good stuff here. Got Neil Young on here. Got Marilyn Manson on here. Sun Kill Moon. Local H. Failure. Can't argue with this. Kurt Vile. Dre. Wilco. Star Wars. Kendrick Lamar. Blur. I'm not arguing with it. That's at andydarer.com. Or, also, you go to, where are you going? ChristinaRocks.com, HangTheDJ, 89xRadio.com, every Sunday morning, Throwback Alternative, 8 to 12.01 p.m. You can tweet at her, at ChristinaRocks, tell her I sent you. Tell her she's the coolest cucumber in the salad, because if you did, you would be telling her things that are true. And, of course, every week, the headlines, they be powered by Annie Quiet. Until next week, folks. Wacky Weed and Warren Zevon. Late.
This has been the Jay Parks Experience. Thank you so much for listening.